Hi, everybody. Welcome to Buzzing About Romance. I am Leah, and on this episode, I'm giving you a quick shot of romance, but author spotlight edition. And on this author spotlight, I am welcoming author Alexa Martin. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
Alexa Martin lives in Dallas with her husband, four children, and German Shepherd. The Playbook series was inspired by the 8 years she spent as an NFL wife and her deep love of all things pop culture, sparkles, leggings, and wine. When she's not dreaming up her next romance hero, you can find her catching up on whatever Real Housewives franchise is currently airing or filling up her Etsy cart with items she doesn't need. I mean, who doesn't do that?
I mean, my cart is out of control. And also Real Housewives of Rhode Island, if anybody's watched it, check it out.
Is it?
It's so good. It's so good. Yeah.
I have a hard time getting into those kinds of shows, but I will doom scroll and like I have probably watched entire series of shows just by seeing little clips.
Oh, the clips for sure. I mean, I took a break from Housewives because it got to be too much and like it felt really scripted. But Rhode Island, this is like their first like season and it feels very old school, chaotic, messy.
It's like back to the OG.
Perfect Housewives. They're so messy. I love them. I don't even think I mean, I knew where Rhode Island was, but like, I didn't like know what it was like the culture.
And I was just like, it's so tiny.
Yeah. It's like New Jersey meets Boston. It's perfect television. It's so good.
I may have to check that one out.
It's really great. And there's only a few episodes, so it's not overwhelming.
That's true.
I'm much better at pitching Bravo shows than I am my own books.
So let's talk about your author journey. So what made you write that first novel and publish it?
So I always tell people that like my gateway into romance was 50 Shades of Grey. Like I had three small children. My older three are like back to back to back. So I had, you know, like a 3-year-old, a 2-year-old, a 3-year-old, a 2-year-old, and like an infant. Mm-hmm. And my grandma had called me one night and she was like, "Have you ever heard of that 50 Shades book?" And I was like, yeah. She's like, "Yeah, I keep hearing, maybe try to read it." So I remember I read the first one and I remember finishing it and throwing my kids in the minivan and like running to the store and grabbing the second one. And just like, it just like started this like deep love of romance. I just could not get enough after that. But like when I started reading, it was like before I knew about like the blogs and all the recommendation sites and also all of my books, it was like, I started reading on my phone. So it was like Apple Books. And after I'd finished, it'd be like, okay, you might like this. So then I'd buy that one. And they were all very straight, very white. Like the diversity was like seriously lacking.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And my husband, this is when he was playing still, he got invited to do this camp, in the Bahamas. And so me and him had like this kind of like vacation. And
that was probably amazing. It was like having three kids under four. Like that's
truly, it was so delightful. And he, we were at like whatever the big hotel is in the Bahamas. I can't remember right now. And he wanted to go on all like the water park slides. And I was like, you don't understand. My vacation is reading these books uninterrupted.
Yeah.
And so I finally had time to just sit and just read. And an idea came to me for a book, but I had never written before. And I was like, this is crazy. I don't know if I can do that. So we got home from the vacation and I remember going into our basement, locking the door. Me and my husband shared a laptop. I created like a password protected account and like started writing. And I remember he was just like, "What are you doing in the basement?" And I was like, "You don't need to know. It's fine. It's fine." And so I finally told him because I didn't want to tell people that I was doing it because I didn't know if I was going to finish. I didn't know if it was going to be so cringe and embarrassing. And that's when I started writing Intercepted. And it ended up when it was published, it was a football romance. Mm-hmm. It was not a football romance at first. I remember being like, I will never write about football. This is not romantic. This is not glamorous. like my husband getting traded and switching teams and moving around the country and just like very chaotic. And so it took me 4 years, I think, to finish that book. And I got into this competition that's not a thing anymore, but it was called Pitch Wars.
Okay.
And I was able to kind of, you would submit your query letter in first chapter to like 5 to 7 mentors. And then they'd like ask for more. Rebecca Yarros was one of the mentors. Okay. This is like back in the day. And I got chosen and I remember they were like, you know, they're like, what do you want this book to be? Do you want to be women's fiction, erotica, romance? And I was like, yes. Like I knew nothing. I didn't know what like the guidelines were, and we went with contemporary romance, and they're like, you have this a viewpoint on football that like most people don't. So like maybe try to. They're like, but like you'd have to rewrite the book in 4 weeks. Could you do it? And I was like, yeah, sure. It took me 4 years to write. And I was like, yeah, no problem. And then by that time I'd had my fourth child. We just moved back from Wyoming. My mother-in-law was living with us after a knee replacement surgery. And I just remember, I don't remember much from that month except for Red Bulls and crying. But I finished it, and that's how I got my agent. But it was really just like the spark of an idea, because I was like, maybe if I'm not finding the diversity in the book, like maybe I can try to do it. And it took me a long time to finish it, and I did not know what I was doing. I have nightmares about people finding the original manuscript and reading it, right? It was not great, but it was like a really nice experience, and there's something so sweet about like getting started and not knowing the rules and just writing for fun and what you want it to be.
I mean, and but you're not the only one. There are so many authors who like strive to write that first book, and once they get it done, like they don't have a clue how to get it out there. And I mean, it's, and I will say there's so much more that goes into publishing a book than most people realize. Like there's so many intricacies to it.
And there's so many entry points. Right? Like one person's story cannot be helpful to somebody else's, right? Like
Exactly.
everything is so different. What's so funny is actually when I was writing that book, one of the reasons why I finished is while I was pregnant with my fourth, my daughter, I was in a mom group, like an internet mom group. And one of my friends in the group said, like, I actually really want to be a published writer. Like that was like her secret that people didn't know. I was like, oh my God, me too. And so every Tuesday, on Facebook Messenger, I can still pull up the messages. We would send each other a chapter of our book and we would read it and
Really?
be like, wow, good job. You did so great. Keep going. And now she's a published author. She has two YA books, Lissa Mia Smith. They're amazing. She's the most talented person I know. But that's like how we started doing it. So you're just like, before I even knew what like beta readers were or any of that stuff, we were just like, on Tuesdays on Facebook would send each other a chapter and
It's really funny because you're, I mean, I'm 42, so like having like the Facebook Messenger,
yeah.
like you're totally like aging yourself. You're like, I am this years old by the fact that
I
we
was
did it this
really
way.
in Facebook in the Facebook mom group, so do with that what you will.
The times have changed a
I
little
know.
bit.
Oh gosh, that's okay. I'm okay to not have to join another mom group in whatever form of being pregnant.
Mom groups were, they were nice, but they were horrible at the same time.
Really scary.
Yeah.
I have an idea
So,
for a thriller book that takes place in a mom group because they really
oh,
are.
so many people would read that. So many. Like, I, like, yes, you should definitely read that, like, write that. So, when you're writing, I mean, yes, you're managing four children who are like, fairly capable because it's been a little while, but at the same time, it's four children who are involved in things. How do you stay focused when you're writing? Do you have any rituals that get you like ready to write? Do you have any like little things that you set up? Because every author that I talk to, everybody has a different way they write, a different way they set up their desk, and it just, what is yours?
I'm best right well. I'm best writing at a coffee shop. Like I really need to leave my house to really kind of focus in a lot of the time. When I'm here, like I'm sure at some point, because my kids are on some break, I'm sure at one point you will see me just waving them out of my room, like not right now. They do not respect a closed door. So they're gonna interrupt me. And my office doesn't have a door, so it's just chaos. And my husband moved his like desk across from mine. So I just like to go to a coffee shop where I'm not like, oh, maybe I should do the laundry or, oh, did I take anything out for dinner? And I like, so I can kind of get away from that. And there's this coffee shop near me that like turns into coffee all day, but they also like have a bar. So they stay until like 9. So I can go from like 9 to 9 and just like stay
That
there
is a
all day
really great
long.
business
It's
model.
so great. And they have the best chairs, which sounds wild, but like, they
It's
have
not.
really great chairs and lots of outlets. So I can just hunker down and guzzle coffee all day.
Those were
And then if
smart
I'm
business people.
right, I know. And then if I'm at home, I always just like, again, I write in my bedroom because it has a door. And I need iced coffee and Diet Coke. And then I also really like a Blow Pop, which is silly, but like I need something like feels like a jolt of sugar, and I can just like I don't have to like grab them. But yeah, writing out of my house is like my biggest thing. And then when I do write here, it's kind of like me telling my kids, I have got to focus. Like if I'm at home and I'm writing, it's because the deadline is approaching and I'm like, I
Like
cannot
you
talk
can't
to
waste that
you.
time to like
Please,
get
please,
in the car.
please. Yeah. Just like let me focus. So it's a lot of begging and trying. My son called me out once where I got my contract. I was like, it's due. It's not due for like 9 months. And he was like, oh, so you'll start in 6 months. And I said, first of all, how dare you? Also, correctly, you are probably right. I feel like I don't know if it's because of how Pitch Wars worked when I had to write in that month, but I do feel like sometimes I write better with that. Otherwise, I kind of hyperfixate and I keep starting over. Like sometimes it's better for me to feel that like burnt. But also it's not, because then I feel like I'm pulling my hair out and I'm so stressed. So I'm actually going to start writing a new project like next week, and it's not due for a while. So we'll see how that
Well,
what that
I
does to my
mean,
nervous
I
system.
don't know about you, but I am a procrastinator and I
Yes.
work much better in a like shortened deadline,
Same.
like so, I mean, whatever
Yeah. I
works.
want to not do that to myself anymore, but I also am like, part of me as like, so I think as like creatives, you get so like, is this just part of my process? It can be so hard to break out of it. So I'm gonna try with this next book to just give myself a little breathing space and let me, I mean, it's still due in like November, so it's not like the longest time,
But it
but it's
still is
more than two
time.
months that I've
Yes.
done these last ones. So
So
yeah.
when you are coming up with your stories and what you want to write, not book one since it took you quite a while, but do you plan out your book or do you pants?
I feel like I do kind of a mixture of them, because like with traditional publishing, like there is such like a tight turnaround often. I like to have some idea. So for the most part, what I do is I will come up with like the back cover copy. So I under like I know like kind of like the whole general idea of the story. And then I like to come up with like the major plot points. So I'll know the very beginning. I'll know kind of the end of the first act, beginning of the second act, the midpoint, and like the third act, like the big breakup or whatever is going to happen there. That's usually how I like to do it. With the last book that I just did, I tried my hand at plotting. Was so intense. I mean, but it was so helpful. Like when I got towards the end, where usually I'm like, oh no, I don't know what to do next. I'm having to like call my friends panicking. Like I had that like guideline. But the plotting did take a very long time to like my spreadsheet, immaculate. It's beautiful. I've never been prouder of a spreadsheet in my entire life. But I also, what it did is I really overwrote. So it started getting to the point where I was like, oh, this first act is going to be like 35,000 words. Like I really have to start paring it back. And then as my deadline was approaching, I was like, okay, we're gonna cut the scene. If the pacing's off, then I know where to add back in. But it was a lot. But it again, it was really helpful. And especially with the ending, for me, a lot of the times I get to the end and I'm like, and they kiss and make up in the end. It's like, so this time I feel like the pacing with the very end of this book, I'm really proud of how it like moves from like the black moment to the end. And so that was really helpful. So maybe I don't know if I'll go quite as hard on the spreadsheet with this next book, but I do think I will do something of the sort. Kind of, I think this whole thing is just like finding a process that works for you, and it evolves so much as you go.
Yeah, it does. Well, and I've talked to authors where like they started out writing a certain way, but they didn't it just didn't work for them. Like they felt like bogged down, they would get writer's block, and so they mixed up the way they do it. And like then I have talked to some authors who like they have used the same process for every single book and they're like, it works for me, but not one thing works for any two authors. And I think that is the most wonderful thing about the craft itself.
There's like a freedom to it, and but sometimes that freedom feels a little scary, like there's too much.
So when you're writing, how do you balance the story of the couple and their relationship with the story of the book itself? How do you find that balance?
So I think this is kind of a struggle that I have sometimes. My books are all single POV. And so I think sometimes they toe the line between women's fiction and romance. Like the romance is still very important, but it's really important for me to tell her story and get that apart. And sometimes, like, I really love female friendship. And so sometimes I'm like, oh, do I have, like, I love writing those scenes, and like, I will have to kind of par those back to, like, I think with this last book, it was a kind of struggle that I was having. It's like her returning to her hometown, and she's like reconnecting with all these people. And I was like, I need to keep this relationship focused and centered. And I'd read Chloe Lisa's Happy People. I think, is that what it's called? No, Happy Ending. It's called Happy Ending, not Happy People. Happy Ending. And
I think
it's
Happy
also
People is a book too, by
that,
some,
I think so too.
it might
That's,
be
I
an
was like,
Emily
I,
Henry or something like
right,
that.
okay, because I can see that cover, but it's Happy Ending by Chloe Lisa, and it's also a single POV book, which you don't find as often now. When I started reading and writing, like, that's all I read. But now it's a lot of dual POV. And as I was reading that book, I was just like, the way, even when the male main character, what the like love interest, wasn't in the scene, he was still in the scene, right? Like, it was still very like, you could still feel that like relationship, the tension. And I was just like, wait, this is so great. So I took a lot of pieces from that and like how to kind of keep the relationship, even when he wasn't on page, to kind of show how she was moving towards that relationship, while still having some where, like, I can't remember the name of the rule, right? Where like there are still scenes where like two women are talking and they're not talking about a man. I cannot remember the rule right now, but
I
like, I
know what
don't
you
want,
mean, yeah.
yeah. So I still make sure that like I have scenes that like aren't about boys in it as well, right? Like, I want her to be a fully developed person. And I think that leans towards the romance, right? I just watched Jerry Maguire the other night.
Ooh, that's a good one. I
It
haven't seen
like
that in a
came,
hot
I hadn't
minute.
either. I was doing like a little book tour for this, and it was on in the hotel room when I came back, and I was like, oh my gosh, I haven't watched this in forever. And we're like at the end of the movie, like he says, like, you complete me. I don't want a man to complete her, right? Like, I want him to enhance her. That's not like what I want. So I want her to be this fully developed person. And so it's like really important for me to keep her story separate from the romance, so that like they both build each other up, but one's not dependent on the other. Yeah.
I myself, like, I struggle with single point POV sometimes just because, like, you get so much of one character, but I really like to get into the head of the character, like, when I'm reading a book. And so it's like not getting that male point of view. Like, me, like, if I get to the end of that book and I'm like, man, I didn't miss his point of view, like, I know I really liked it, the way it was structured. And it's because it's one of those things, like, you sometimes, depending on how it's structured and written, like, you miss some of those little nuances, but a lot of those nuances, it comes in the interaction that they have. And so it's like you can understand, like, where his thought process is and what he's doing just by how they connect and talk and things like that.
And how
So
she reads into like every little thing. I think it can really, I did an event with Lila Sage, and she said something about how like in single POV, like there's so much yearning because you don't really know. You're reading into every kind of moment and every gesture and every word. And I was just like, promote all my books for me. Lila, thank you. I was just like, yeah, that's the answer. And it is like her kind of like when she's not with him, like thinking about him and wondering if he's thinking about her. And then when he shows up, like him remind he him I love like my heroes. He's kind of in by the bootstraps. He's pretty grumpy, but like he remembers everything, right? So it's like, is he listening? But he's listening so intently and like showing in those like little moments as well.
So let's talk about By the Bootstraps. It came out May 26, 2026. It is book one. I'm hoping we get more.
Yes,
Book
it's a
one of the
series.
Starlight Ridge series, and it is the story of Tate and Luna. So Luna is a woman who basically threw a dart at a map and has uprooted her entire life and is moving to this tiny little town in Texas. And I The one thing I really enjoy about this story is we get Luna and she is going through a lot. Like she is trying to reestablish who she is as a person in a lot of ways. And we don't know why at the beginning, and we get little tidbits of it, which I'm not going to spoil any of that because it's a big part of the story and like their connection and things like that. But I just love the fact that like she was so sure of herself at the beginning. Like, I can do this. I can make this happen. Like, I'm not going to think about these things that are keeping me like back. What made you write her that way? Because we don't always get that.
Yeah, I loved Luna. I loved writing her. I am a person who I'm very conflict avoidance. I love to run from a problem. And so it did feel like a really great like start to a story where she's not, but it's not just that she's running from a problem. Like she really feels like she's running to something. So like in her mind, she's not running away from all the things that had happened in Denver. She's running to this new fresh start, right? Her name is Luna Star. She found a town called Celestial. Like everything just seems meant to be. And this
Yeah,
is like,
she's like, it almost seems fated that that was
yes,
like where she
yeah, this is where
picked.
I must belong here. And so it really is like in her mind, this new beginning, this fresh start where like she's meant to be, and not that like she's avoiding all the problems, which it is. It's both things in the end. And we see that like along the journey. But yeah, I really wanted her to, I just wanted it. I wanted to write a small like town, like a fictional town for a long time. And when I moved to Texas, I was like, oh, it's got to be set in Texas. And so to like give her that like freedom to be this like whimsy, fun person starting over, right? Like, which is scary. It's
It
so
is.
scary to start over where you don't know anybody. You don't have that like safety blanket of like a best friend where if something goes wrong, you know, you still have that one person. So kind of getting her into this place where like fish out of water. And forcing her to like, even though she's like avoiding everything, still, right? Like those problems following her and forcing her to come like face to face with them as well.
Well, and a lot of like her problems, so to speak, or like they're emotional, like it's some trauma that she's went through, like at like growing up and things that have happened, and like relationships have adapted and evolved, and she's learning to deal with like a lot of grief that she, and not just grief in the technical like terms of it, like there's grief about like relationship and grief about loss. And it really, like the way that you portray it, it's like grief is attached to a lot of different things. Grief is not a linear thing. Grief is, I always like to refer to it, and anytime I'm talking, it's like an ocean tide. It ebbs, it flows. Sometimes it's big, sometimes it's small. Like it sometimes can be very violent and sometimes like the most calming thing ever. And like as this story goes on, like through, like you really see like those ebbs, flows, and realizations
Yeah,
for
I think
Luna.
it was really important for me. I feel like a lot of times when we see grief written, I don't think it's a spoiler, right? Like she lost her mom, and I think a lot of times when we see grief, especially about a parent's on page in media, it's, oh my gosh, I miss them so much. I'm so sad. They were so wonderful. But there's this other layer when the relationship's complicated. And so to see grief and to be able to kind of write it in a way where it's not just what is kind of socially acceptable. And there's a lot of complicated feelings, and there's a lot of shame, and there's a lot of anger, and there's a lot of sadness. And so like working her, like watching her like work her way through it and experience that, and then like give herself like the freedom to like feel all of the feelings so she can actually just grieve, right? And put all of the rest to the side. Because it can be really hard, right? Like there's with everything we do, there's so many other voices and expectations. And grief is one of those things that is so personal, it is so overwhelming. And so to kind of feel those feelings in not what people expect you to feel, it can be really difficult.
Well, and then we have Tate, who also has complicated
Yes.
relationships with people. I feel like that's the best word to use.
Yes.
So he is in his hometown. Like he has been there for a while because of things that happened. And I'm not going to spoil that one because, again, you need to read about that one. And but he wants to be there, but he doesn't want to be there. And he feels obligated to do things that he wants. And like he wants to do them, but he doesn't want to do them at the same time. So he's like this really like juxtaposition of everything as the book, as like we meet him and he get his story and the little intricacies of like the relationships and things like that. And so like he's a layered onion of complication.
I don't think I even realized it until I finished writing the story of how much their stories mirror each other in opposite ways, right? Like she has dealing with like loss and complicated family issues, and so to deal with those, she's kind of diving into community. She's clinging to it. She wants all of it, and he is dealing with complicated family issues and things, and he's pushing it away, right? Like so, they're very different journeys, but like they still have that like kind of thing in common. And I think their relationship, it helps both of them mend something and allow themselves to like open up. But it was like watching them kind of deal with similar things in completely opposite ways, right? And like the different ways you can handle all of the things.
Well, and when we first meet Tate, like there's this love triangle vibe. It is not a love triangle,
It's not a
people.
love
Don't worry,
triangle.
there's none of
I
that. But it's
know.
like you kind of like the way you introduce it, like, because he has a twin brother and his name is Silas. And so, like, we meet Silas first. Well, we meet Tate first, but then it's like, it's just a little like, here you go. And then we meet Silas and he's kind of like really there a lot. And then like Tate comes back and it's like, oh, where is this going? But it is not a love triangle, don't worry.
I'm like, I tried to play with the love triangle, which was really hard. It was really hard to balance and do. But then I was just like, it's on the back cover copy. Like, you know who the hero is,
Yeah,
like when you're
exactly.
starting, but like it was fun to introduce. And the second book is Silas. So it was nice kind of introducing him and
Well,
seeing both
and
of
like we
them.
get little snippets of like his feelings and his emotions and
That
like
family
and the
dynamic is really important to the story and like the overarching story across all three books.
Well, and so that I think that's the thing, like the way that you tie in so much of Tate's family, like, and there is healing there, and there's healing on Luna's side, and we have Gabby, who is like
Oh, we love Gabby.
the bestest friend ever, who we like, I really. But that friendship with Gabby and Luna too, like Gabby is still in Denver, like, and they're doing this long distance friendship thing. But Gabby is like, I will drop everything and be there like the moment that you need me. Like
Yeah, and
she's
she's also
ride or
like,
die.
don't
Like
you
give
dare
me the
forget to call
shovel.
me.
Yes. But it's like she wants Luna, like she misses her so much and she wants her to come back. But at the same time, she sees how like she's thriving in that environment. And so it's like, well, what am I gonna do about that?
She is so great. Like I said, I always love a female friendship in my stories. Like it's very important across like every single one of my stories. But usually it's just the one best friend. And with this one, I was like, wait, but Gabby's not here. So what's fun about writing the story is like there's a lot of friendships that I wasn't expecting when I started it. Yeah, I knew she would meet Millie, who owns the craft store in town, and she's so fun. But I did not realize how much of a player Sierra would be, which is she's Tate and Silas's sister. And I did not realize like that would be it. But I think it was this like writing in the small town where the community played such a huge part, and she was making all these friendships and writing all like creating all these characters was so much fun. But I really wasn't expecting. I thought Sierra would just kind of be a side note, like, oh, this is my sister, and you'd see her a few times, but she became like a big player in the book.
Well, and the way that you created, it's not that Luna was isolated in Denver, but like you had her almost isolated in like the way that she did things. And so it's like she really flourishes in this small town that is very welcoming to her, which you don't always get in a small town romance with somebody new coming in. And I think that in itself, like the she really blooms so much and like really like finds like her worth that like she was a strong person and a strong character, but then as she like really like made these friendships and they showed her like how much more she's capable of, I think that is one of the things that is like so special about her journey.
Thank you. I think so. I think so. It was really fun to write this like small town. It was really fun. Like all of the players in it were so much fun to write. And again, like we just moved to Texas right before I started writing this book, and there's no place like Texas. Like I tell my husband all the time, we moved to Mexico for a while. We wanted our kids to see another culture before they got too old. And so we moved to like a foreign country for a year. And I tell my husband all the time, I'm like, I think that Texas is more of a foreign country than Mexico was, right? Like it's so specific. Like it is its own little world. And then but my boys play football and my son, we moved here. My son's like freshman year of high school. So like really jumped
Well, in
head first
Texas
into the Friday Night
football,
Lights.
I was going to say Texas football is a whole other
It
realm.
really is in a way. Like before we lived in Tennessee, I finally watched Friday Night Lights. I'd never watched it like growing up. So I was really late to it. And I watched it and I was like, okay, well, like they're getting a little absurd here. They're really kind of taking it far.
And
And
then
then we
you moved
moved
to
here and I was like, oh,
Texas.
they undersold it. They were really gentle.
You're
They,
like,
this is,
they took
yeah,
like the
they
small
really tempered it
smattering.
down, truly. And so this, he, Tate, is like the town handyman, but he's also, and he's also the head football coach. So it's very like cowboy meets Friday Night Lights. And to me, it's like the epitome of like what I would picture a small Texas town to be. Like we live in like the suburbs. But like if I had to like pick a Texas town, like I think it would be so much like Celestial.
So what made you choose to do like the cowboy ranchy ranchy? That is a horrible word to use. But what made you choose to do the cowboy like ranch side of it?
So we, when I was figuring out like what to write, me and my editor were like, I wanted to do small town. And like, I do love a cowboy romance. Like, it's so fun. And also, again, with like bringing in the diversity, right? Like, there's all like Beyonce, Cowboy Carter happening. Like, I do think it's like really important to have that representation. And especially in the cowboy realm where you don't necessarily see as much, but like, the term cowboy was created for Black men. Like that's why it was started, right? They were cowboys, the white cow handlers, they were cow handlers, right? Like it's, or cow hands, like it was that term. So to, and I know there is like some wonderful diverse cowboy romance out there, but you don't necessarily see it as much. So it's something I wanted to add to it. And I wanted to kind of connect her to the land, right? There are these beautiful scenes where they're talking about Starlight Ridge and what the land means. And that community was started as a freedmen settlement. So like it started by like freed slaves settling there. Like, so it's like a community built on diversity and inclusion and like welcoming. And so I wanted to kind of try my hand at doing it. I will say, I think this book, as the series kind of goes on, like this one, it's like about Tate who hates cowboys, right? So you see it, but it's not, and Silas is in it and he's very much a cowboy and she lives right next to the ranch. So like she, you still see it all, but I would say this one is like cowboy lights, and then the second book is more, and then the third book is like fully like
Well, and I
engaged in
think
it.
part of it is like Tate, like he doesn't want to be in the ranch life, but and then Silas is like fully immersed in it and wants like every little piece of it, even though like he's not really given the opportunity in this book. So I'm sure that we'll get more of that in his book and how that plays out.
So it was just fun to kind of lean into that in a place that the representation isn't always as vast as I think it should be, could be. And so it's like important for me to like give readers this as like an option.
Well, it is a great option to
Thank you.
have because it was very well done and I enjoyed it
Thank you so
immensely.
much. Thank
So,
you.
what is next for you? Is Silas next, or do you have any
Silas
projects
is
in between?
next. I just turned in the first draft to his book, and I love it. I love it a lot. So it's his book, and then the third book will be Sierra's book, which I am, that's the book I'm hoping to start in like the next couple of weeks. And I might be most excited for her book. I don't know if I'm like allowed to give spoilers for her, so I won't yet. But Silas's, you meet all of the players in book one, right? Like even if you don't necessarily catch it, like you meet, at least get the names of all of the players within the first book. So Silas's is a second chance. It follows like his like childhood like sweetheart, and she moves back to town. And it's really fun. There's really sweet moments. There's still like football. It's like a great bridge. I think like she's got a son, so there's still like the football theme in there as well. and the cowboy because it's Silas's. So I think it's like a really great between bridge between what the first book will be and what the third book will be. And Silas is just like, in this book, I think you see like he's so sweet, but then as the book goes on, you kind of see that he has some things as well. So to kind of delve into him and his like psyche and his relationships was really, really fun.
Well, I look forward to
Thank
it.
you.
And so thank you so much, Alexa, for joining me on this spotlight
Thank you for
episode.
having me. This was so fun.
Well, these are honestly like one of my favorite things to do for the podcast. Like Becky like doesn't really do any of them. Like I set them all up. I do all of this, and I love them because I love talking to authors about like their journey and their like inspirations and all that stuff.
So fun. Yeah, this was a blast. And now I guess I gotta get back to summer vacation.
Until next time, happy reading, everybody.
Find us on Instagram at Buzzing About Romance or on Twitter at Buzzing Romance. If you like the podcast, please leave a review. If you'd like to support us directly, join the Bookcase and Coffee Patreon and receive exclusive content only available to Patreon members. Check out bookcaseandcoffee.com for our on-the-shelf show notes.